What if you could cut through the noise in the online business world and learn from someone who has built a real business? We verified the numbers and combed through the P&L. This is not only a real business, but a real asset that people want to buy. We're going to pull the curtain back and give you the insights this entrepreneur has discovered that you can use to level up your knowledge, whether you're looking to buy a business or looking for inspiration to take your current business to the next level. Hey listeners, welcome back to the Romani Real Business Podcast. This week, I spoke with Phil about his Amazon FBA business. The business was created in September of 2014 and is making over $50,000 every single month in net profit. And the best part is that Phil has outsourced a lot of the work to a VA, which means that he gets to spend minimal time running the business. Phil, thank you for coming on here today to talk about this business with me. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Jake. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And I always love talking with the sellers about these bigger listings, these bigger businesses, to get their insights on how they became so successful. But before we dive into the questions that I have for you, I want to go ahead and run through a little quick summary of the business. Again, it was built in September of 2014, has a monthly revenue of $134,904, expenses of $83,675 to make for a net profit of $51,229, which is generated on a 12-month average. Included in the sale of this business are the Seller Central account with 19 SKUs, domain and outside content and files, social media accounts, and trademark. Please note that inventory is not normally included in the list price. Further details can be provided to active depositors. Phil, can you tell us a little bit about your background in building and running online businesses?
Sure. So I've been involved in business since 2002. It was the year I launched my first e-commerce website. That e-commerce website obviously was off Amazon. I don't think Amazon permitted third-party sellers back then. And so this is kind of the business that I really kind of cut my teeth into for many years. I was able to build that business up to a fairly high level, brought in a business partner at some stage, and basically ran a successful off-Amazon e-commerce business for all of those years. At some point in time, I sold my shares of the business to my business partner and fully pivoted to this Amazon business. And yeah, the growth since I've done that has been phenomenal.
So you have this background in e-commerce outside of Amazon, as you mentioned. Can you explain why you feel that Amazon FBA is a good opportunity as compared to e-commerce?
Well, it is e-commerce. It's a form of e-commerce. It's a channel in terms of e-commerce. But if I could explain the difference, I think that in my experience going through building an off-Amazon business was a lot more laborious in the sense that attracting eyeballs to the website is just a lot more work. It's a lot more time, a lot more effort, and usually a lot more expensive. The trade-off is that once you, when you have an off-Amazon business, then you really own sort of the data. You know, you could do what you want with the data. You really own, kind of own the customer's data. It's sort of your thing. When you're dealing with Amazon, it's really, it's their sandbox. But the trade-off is that there are just a lot more buyers, a lot more customers, a lot more traffic on Amazon. It's quite a difference.
Yes, and that's what I meant. Thank you for clarifying the difference between off Amazon and on Amazon there. So seeing as selling on Amazon is such a lucrative opportunity, why have you decided to exit this business today?
That's a great question. I'm probably a little crazy for doing so because this is, you know, this is essentially a pretty automated system that doesn't require a whole lot of work and that generates a pretty substantial amount of money. But to answer your question, the reason is I've reached a stage where I'm fairly financially independent, thanks to this business in large part. And I'm looking to move forward with some, I guess you could call them passion projects in life. Sort of, I have an opportunity at 42 years old that most people don't have, is I can really own 100% of my time. And, you know, for example, I'd like to go off and do some treks and do some hikes that, you know, you're out there for months at a time. And although the business is very automated, I wouldn't be able to just get off the grid for months at a time, but that's something I want to do. So owning my time, owning 100% of my time is really what's driving me right now.
Yeah, and that makes sense that it would be important to you. And you mentioned, while this business is pretty much automated completely, you can't go off grid for months at a time, but that does make me wonder, how automated is this business?
You know, I'd say that on average, the work is probably, you know, an hour, you'd say an hour a day, 5 days a week, probably averages out to something around that, probably 5 hours a week. It wasn't always like this. When I was building the business, there was a lot more work involved, sort of to get to this stage that everybody wants to get to, where the systems are just running and the business is just, you know, on at a certain level of autopilot. It required a lot of work, a lot of obstacles, lots of challenges, but we're there now. And so at this stage, at this point in time, that's about the average. Some weeks is a little bit more, you know, when we're dealing with a lot of shipments and a lot of logistics on the shipments, it could be a bit more than that. But generally, it probably works out to about an hour a day.
And if you take that hour per day, 5 days a week, what are you doing during that time?
So logistics is the part of the business that takes up the most time for myself. It's still something that I myself handle. I've got some staff help me with some other parts of the business, but that's one that I still handle. So everything from the ensuring that sort of the every part of the puzzle is moving smoothly and ensuring that the production process is going well and ensuring that the you know, you get re-inventorized in time. There's quite long lead times when it comes to China, so you really have to be ahead of the game on that to make sure that, you know, you all of this stuff goes right. There's some work involved there.
This staff you mentioned, how many employees do you have and what are they doing for the business?
So I've got two staff. I've got one person that's been with me for a few years that helps with the pay-per-click, essentially, the campaigns. He also helps, you know, with some other parts of the business when required. He's been very helpful, in fact, in many aspects of the business. Helps me with some of the accounting and so on. The second staff person is in charge of customer service for the business. She's been well trained to make customers happy, is basically the mantra. And she's been doing a great job. So two staff.
Mm-hmm. And will these two employees be continuing with the business when a new owner takes over?
Yeah, that would have to be negotiated directly between them and the owner. So I don't want to speak for them. That would be a negotiation that would take place between them.
Mm-hmm. And that absolutely makes sense. So in addition to the Amazon store, of course, you have a Shopify website, correct?
Yes.
Can you explain the role of that? Does that make any sales? Is it just for web presence? What's going on here?
It makes sales. It is an opportunity for growth. I haven't paid a lot of heed to the website just because so many of the sales just come organically onto Amazon. Amazon is like, you know, 99% of our sales. But in the summer months, we'll make a few sales a day on the website. And in fact, the website is a tool we've used to build a fairly substantial list of customers. So any potential buyer would have access to that list. And long story short, we haven't paid a lot of attention to the website. We haven't really optimized it. That's something that could be done. Some attention paid to design there, a little bit of SEO, a little bit of content, and, you know, more organic sales would come onto that website. But even the way it is now, it gets a couple of organic sales, just people finding it for Google or whatnot and buying on there.
So the business is growing, with April 19 being a record month for you. Can you explain why the business is managing to keep growing?
In essence, our products have been around for a long time. And the best answer that I have is that the Amazon algorithm really likes our products, because I'm surrounded by people in this space that use a lot of techniques to sort of jack and pump their products in rank. Some of these techniques are very sophisticated. I've never really had to do that. The best marketing, in my opinion, has always been just offer a tremendous product and get great reviews and you'll be rewarded. That's what we did with our previous business. And Google rewarded us with solid rankings. We never played in the black hat sandbox like many of the others did. We never got punished and we eventually rose to the top. It's exactly what I've kind of the approach I've taken with this Amazon business as well. I've never really cut corners and I've never done any of these black hat, you know, techniques that are against Amazon terms of reference. And it's really worked in our favor. So that's the long answer, I guess. We've also tweaked a couple of things that have sort of made a big difference. You know, categorization, for example, like the proper categorization kind of makes a big difference on a product. And it took us a long time to figure out what the optimal categorization was for a particular product. And sales have been very strong ever since. Another thing that helped us, so related to the first thing that I mentioned, is a lot of the black hatters did get hit at one point. It was in about July of last year. A lot of the Chinese and non-Chinese black adders on Amazon, the people using illegal techniques to work their way to the top, got punished by Amazon. And that helped us because a lot of our competitors got hit.
Hey, listeners. Do you want to find a business that is just right for you? Head on over to Empire Flippers and have a look at our marketplace, where you can see real businesses making real money, just like the one we're looking at today. In fact, don't miss out. Head over now, share your email address, and we'll send you hot, fresh new listings of successful businesses every week to your inbox. Now back to the interview. What are some of the major opportunities for growth that you see for this business? What would you focus on if you were to keep it? Can you walk me through here? What are the major opportunities for growth that you would focus on if you were to keep the business?
To grow this business, I think the lowest hanging fruit is Amazon expansion. I think the products have been proven. The manufacturing process is well set. Our manufacturers have been, you know, producing this thing for years. They know what they're doing. The product is ready. So expansion to new Amazon marketplaces, in particular the big marketplaces like Europe. I'm surrounded by colleagues that some of them, their whole business is built in Europe. They do millions and millions of dollars in Europe, and they can't crack the States. You know, the States is more competitive. We obviously do very well in the States, but I think Europe's an opportunity. That's the first low-hanging fruit I would go after. The second one is simply launching products. We have a good aged account with a lot of feedback, and we have a very good list of potential buyers ready to go. And launching new products under our brand name that is established on Amazon is another way to quick growth.
Do you feel like this business has any potential risks that a new owner should be aware of?
In any business, there is risk. The thing I will say is that in the Amazon world, which is not a non-risky world because Amazon's really in control of what the heck is going to happen next month, we've been around for a long time. So in the Amazon world, having been around since 2014 is a long time. We have an aged account. We've never used a lot of these dirty tactics that some of the merchants have used. So what I can say is it's been stable and safe for the past 4 years, and that's a pretty solid history. It's not something that would keep me up at night, what Amazon will decide to do, because third-party sellers are representing a massive part of their business now. I have to say that in any business, you know, there are risks. And in this business, the risk is that you are playing in Amazon's sandbox. So if Amazon decide to change something, there's nothing you can do. You have no say. Now, so far, so good. They do want to treat their sellers properly. And they see third-party sellers as being a big part of their business in the future. So I don't think that Amazon would do anything too crazy, but that would be the big one.
Is there any significant risk in replacing you, the owner, for running this business? Is there any sort of special skill that would be required to come in here?
I think at this point, the business is at a level where anybody could be brought up to speed fairly quickly and easily. The processes are just working. The manufacturing is established. The product packaging to the staffing, the limited overhead, you know, we run a pretty lean operation. It's all done. The hard work has been done. The pillars have been built. I see myself as pretty replaceable. I'd say the one sector that any new owner or possibly their staff would have to be brought up on would be the how to manage logistics on Amazon. That would be the one that probably has a bit of a learning curve, but the rest is pretty automated.
Seeing as you've been so successful here, if a new entrepreneur came to you and said, hey, Phil, I want to get started with Amazon FBA, and you've clearly been successful, what advice would you have for me? What would you tell them?
That happens all the time, and I tell them to not get involved. And the reason I tell them not to get involved is there's a bit of a moat around these businesses now. We started years ago, and it was a much less competitive environment 4 years ago than it is now. And what's happened now is that Amazon has made it harder for new entrants to even get an account. And once they get an account, a lot of the products are already on there, established with, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 reviews. And it's very, very difficult for a new entrant to penetrate the market right now. Basically, all the products are there already on Amazon, and the best sellers have been established, right? which is why I believe there's a moat around businesses such as this one, and aged accounts are pretty valuable in that regard. Once Amazon's decided that your product is a top seller, and it's been a top seller for a very long time, that it just becomes very difficult for anyone coming into this market to displace.
Would you commit to a non-compete?
Yes.
And how much support are you willing to offer a new owner during the transition period?
That would be negotiated with the new owner. I don't have a straight up answer, but I value my time. Obviously, I'm not selling a business so that I can continue being in business for a very long time. But at the same time, I want anyone who buys this business to be successful. And so I'm definitely willing to invest a lot of my energy in that. That being said, that doesn't go on forever, but I am willing to invest some energy in that.
Well, it can't go on forever because your ultimate goal here is to be able to go on long hikes and trips and such, right?
So exactly.
That would be counterintuitive for what you're looking to do here, counterproductive. So, Phil, are you open to negotiating on something like an earnout?
I'm not going to be in very much of a negotiation mood in terms of earnouts in the price of the business because I know, being in it, having built it, I know the asset, I know the quality of this asset, right? Now, we're not asking for necessarily 100% cash up front, you know, so there's a little bit of leeway there, but I'm not either, I'm going to go on a very long earnout. That's not something I'm interested in. So to answer your question, it can be negotiated, but again, I know the value of this asset and I don't want the earnout to stretch on for a very long time.
Phil, thank you for the time with me today. I've loved your insight here, but before you go, I have one final question. If you're looking at this business from the perspective of a potential buyer, why would you feel like it is an asset worth buying?
I think that it's very difficult to find or build a business that allows you to be remote, that you can run from your laptop anywhere in the world for 5 hours a week that generates this kind of money. It's borderline impossible. But it exists. It's my business. So there you go.
And, you know, as you've walked through here, the business is not only growing, it's also extremely hands-off. So kind of exactly what you said there, you've built this business with that model in mind. Phil, thank you for taking the time with me today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jake. Thank you.
You've just learned how this business works, and I want to give you the opportunity to learn more about what you can do to buy real online businesses just like this one. If you want to find out more about businesses making real money, head over to empireflippers.com and sign up for our mailing list. There is an entire world of people quietly investing their money into online businesses and seeing great returns. Now, we want to help you do the same thing.